Do you know, it's lovely that we have people within this group who are able to come and share with us. It's also good to have people from outside come and share how God has moved in their lives, how they have come to know Christ. But actually, I think it's also good to look around the room and see people within this group who just come and share their own testimony of what God has done in their lives. And Claire's one of those. I'm going to say she is a superwoman, but she'll probably say she's not. But we just love her and the things she does within the fellowship at Welton, but above all, her clear love of God. So Claire's going to come and share with us. I'm going to pray for her. Father, thank you for today. Thank you for the time we've already had. But now I just pray, as we're silent for a moment, that we may just hear from you. Thank you for Claire and all that she is and all that she does, but above all, that she has such a living relationship with you. But I just pray now you give her calmness and an assurance as she shares with us. For I ask these things in your name, Jesus. Amen.
Thank you, Mike, for that lovely introduction. I'm going to do a quick sort of side introduction before I kind of introduce myself. So if you were at church yesterday, Matt Coombs was speaking on the book of Judges. We've just started a new series. And in particular, he was talking about Deborah. Deborah was a prophet, someone that listened and heard from God, and as a result was able to speak with wisdom and direction, calling others to act. She spoke with authority, and I love this model, out of spending time with God and listening, that we get to join in with his plans. But of course, that comes to us as a choice. We get to choose whether we watch from the sidelines instead of joining in. Matt encouraged us to step out of our standby mode and to, for those that are a bit stuck or still, we don't want to remain in that place. We want to keep moving. There was an encouragement to wake up, and that particular phrase has been something that's been with me this year. I want to be awake to what God's doing. And so I just encourage you to do the same. Just, be alert to what God's doing. There's a temptation after lunch to have a little bit of a snooze. So just encourage you, wake up. Wake up if you want to hear a little bit more. Okay, so an introduction. Some of you know me really well. I've got family here. I've got a couple of friends, good friends here. And lots of you are my church family. But there may be some of you that actually don't know me at all. So to give you a short introduction, I'm Claire. I'm the youngest daughter to Kay and Graham. And happy birthday, Dad, again, by the way. And to sister to Kim. And they're all sat on the table over there. You may have had a quick glance at a photograph that was up behind me a minute ago. So I'm married to Lee. We've been married for 28 years. I've got one son, aged 26, called Ben. And there was a little dog on the photo as well called Mabel, who's 4, and she's our diva dog. And much loved, yeah. Okay, so I've been part of Welton Baptist Church family for 20 years now, and I can't actually believe it's been that long. Sometimes I still think I'm the newbie, but I know I'm not. I'll share a little bit more about how that came to be in a while. But for now, I wouldn't want to be anywhere else. God is doing some amazing things at Welton Baptist Church. And I'm sure you've got your own stories of what God's doing in you and through you. Growing up in a secure and loving family household is something I really treasure. I think as you get older and as you hear other people's stories, sadly that's not always the case. Some people aren't so lucky. But I've been very grateful to have a positive start in life. I felt well cared for, family who were interested in me, supported me, laughed with me, sometimes at me, and cried with me, and friends who were great fun. You don't need me to tell you that life throws you some curveballs, and I doubt if there's anybody here today that hasn't experienced that and gone through challenging times in their lives. I think the question is, how do you approach those times? How do you approach the challenge and the crisis? For some of us, we fall apart. We might not think straight, we panic, retreat, recluse, and others will remain really calm and think logically and practically and take necessary action and be proactive. I think I've sat somewhere in the middle over the years of the things I've had to cope with. So to give you some context as to why I've kind of mentioned challenges, my world drastically changed in a three-month period during 2006 when my husband's health, Lee, became crisis point, particularly physically and mentally. With numerous diagnoses and feeling like we were living out of the RUH, on top of that, suddenly we had no income as Lee had lost his job through the crisis that he was experiencing. And on top of that, in the same time, Ben, who was age 7 at the time, was diagnosed with autism. So bear in mind at this point, I didn't know Jesus. I wasn't brought up in a Christian household. I hadn't attended Sunday school. And I just about knew the Lord's Prayer from school assemblies, but that was it. And even though I had good family around me and supporting me, I felt hopeless and fearful, and things were never going to be the same again. And so during the midst of our new normal, living with a chronically ill husband, a son who I was still trying to understand and navigate through the lens of autism, was when we discovered Welton Baptist Church. And I say it in that order because we discovered Jesus later, so we discovered church first. Lee had an unusual doctor's appointment during that crisis. A particular day, he saw a locum GP at our local surgery, and he came away with a prescription for church. It was a risky and radical thing for that GP to say to a patient. However, it stayed with Lee. He came home, told me about it, and not long after that, he was rocking up to Norton Hill School, where Welton Baptist Church met at the time, in his suit, because he didn't know what people wore to church at that point. And he was blown away by the warm welcome, and there was a lot of families and people our age, which surprised him. And he knew that I would love it. I was a stay-at-home mum with Ben at that point, and I'd lost contact with a lot of my friends. So I was a lonely stay-at-home mum, wanting friendships. Lee remembers hearing for the first time Jeremiah 29:11, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future." This became the verse that carried us, a sense of renewed hope and a future. We started attending Welton regularly as a family, with Mum and Dad shortly in tow. And soon after, Lee and I attended an Alpha course where we made friends. We had great discussions, gained some knowledge, and on Holy Spirit Day, that moment happened when the head knowledge, all the stuff I'd been hearing and learning, suddenly dropped into my heart and I invited Jesus in. Up to that point, I thought I had a tick box list of things that I had to do before Jesus would accept me. But by his Spirit, I was filled with his love and acceptance, and this has stayed with me ever since. I would argue that I've got quite a childlike faith. I don't need to know all the answers. I'm definitely not a theologian. I don't need to know it all, but I do know that Jesus loves me and I love him. This doesn't, however, mean that you're exempt from challenges, as we've mentioned. Romans 12:12 says, "Rejoice in our confident hope, be patient in trouble, and keep on praying." I've lost count how many times I've had to remind myself of this. Over the past 20 years, as Lee's health has continued to be a challenge, I've really had to dig deep, remembering my roots, reminding myself how much I'm loved and cared for, and how God is with us in our struggles, and without him, I'd fall apart. I think the last song that Mike sang to us really kind of captured that. I don't think it's a coincidence that my faith journey started at a time when he knew I was going to need him the most. As my new role of full-time carer kicked in, it was evident I couldn't do it under my own strength, barely able to function some days under the weight of what we were carrying. God cares for the details. He knows my needs. He knows my weaknesses, and he knows my limitations. Psalm 121 says, "I lift my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth." I love this psalm. It's such a comfort and a promise, a reminder of just how vast God is, from the creator of all things to his intimate relationship with me. He cares about the details of my life, of your life. And I just encourage you, if you're finding yourself in one of those challenging times, spend time in the presence of God. Draw on his resources, his strength, and his love to help you. Of course, we know that we are designed to be in relationship with God, but also with others. And for me, I have loved being on the receiving end of people's generosity, whether it's messages of encouragement, the odd bunch of flowers, especially coffees and chats. If you know me well, you know I spend a lot of time in coffee shops. I've got that reputation. I love nothing more than getting to know people, encouraging them on their faith journey. I've been part of the Alpha team for a couple of years now, and it's such a privilege to see people learn about Jesus, encountering him and saying yes to him. I love the diversity of our current course, from people curious about faith to people that have had a faith for many, many years, yet hearing and learning something new, encountering the love of Jesus for the first time. Of course, God uses our own experiences and stories to share with others as an encouragement and testament to his love and goodness. And just last week, I was able to share how God had healed my knee at the beginning of MFest week. MFest is our kids' club that we do in the summer. It was MFest setup day, followed by prayers, and we were encouraged to pray for one another. I beelined Sarah Lawson. Sarah did a lot of admin preparation for MFest, and she was also head of hospitality that week, so she had a busy week ahead. So I prayed for her, and then she said, "How can I pray for you?" Now, I'd hurt my knee a few days before, trying to push a heavy box back in, and I twisted my knee, so it was slightly inflamed, and I'd been rubbing some stuff on it. Sue Kirby's given me a little hint of some good stuff to rub on my knee to get the inflammation down. So Sarah prayed for my knee, didn't feel anything instantly, but I noticed when I went to bed that evening, I didn't have to rub that stuff on, and I woke up in the morning and I didn't feel in pain. So that was brilliant. So I realised that God had healed me. That very morning, as I queued out, sorry, I've missed a bit. Hold on, bear with. Yeah, not only did I get healed, part of what Sarah prayed was that God would use my healing to heal others during the week, or to pray for others for healing during the week. So I've kind of missed that bit. And so that very morning, as the queues for MFest were outside, and I said hello to a lady who I briefly knew and went in to give her a hug, and she winced. She'd done her back in, and it was hurting. So without even thinking and, you know, getting nervous about it, I just said, "Can I pray for you?" which she said yes to, and so people were listening in and watching as I stood and put my hand on her shoulder and prayed for her. Now, I don't know the outcome of that, but it gave me boldness to pray in faith for healing, having received it. Draw close to God, and he will draw close to us. Good things happen when we include him. If you don't already know it, God cares for you, every one of you here today, and if you go home with nothing else, take this promise home with you. God cares for you. So one final story to end with. As previously mentioned, I love people. To be a small link in someone's faith journey is such a privilege. And so I hope that this story encourages you to be bold, speaking of your own faith journeys to others. We might not always know the outcomes, but God knows. And so again, going back to MFest, a couple of years ago, I was helping in cafe, as I normally do, when a new lady came and sat down. I sat down next to her, grabbed a coffee, got chatting. Her daughter was in the kids' club, and she wanted to stay on site. She wanted to stay close. She shared how her daughter wanted to learn more about Jesus and that she loved coming to MFest. She's been coming for years. I was able to share a little bit about my story, about coming to faith a little bit later in life. I was 35 when I discovered Jesus, and how my life had changed, and within that conversation also mentioning Alpha. This lady ended up doing the next Alpha course, came along with her daughter to church on a Sunday, and she was asking lots of questions. And then post-Alpha, she started attending my house group, our midweek group, and she easily made friends. She was baptized last year, where her parents came along and heard her powerful testimony. Not long afterwards, her dad sadly passed away. However, she was able to be so thankful that he had been part of her baptism story and that he got to hear about Jesus, and that brought her so much peace. In fact, she was recently became a house group leader too, so her journeys just keeps going. Now her mum has recently started coming along to church. She's here today, so I'm not even going to look at her. And she's coming along regularly on Sundays. And yeah, she's also part of the current Alpha course too. So yeah, it's exciting. So you can see this little thread of how disciples make disciples, exactly as Jesus taught us to do. And so I just want to leave you with that encouragement that we all have a story to share, especially as we approach Christmas. The consumerism, the materialistic pressures and busyness, even the loneliness. Maybe you could be that hope in someone's life where we get to share the greatest gift with someone. And remember, we don't have to do this in our own strength. If we choose to speak up for Jesus, he will equip us. So yeah, thank you for listening and enjoy your pudding.
Thank you, Claire. I think you could hear a pin drop during that time. Wasn't it great to hear the way in which God has worked in Claire's life? And wasn't they sung worship good today? There were some really great songs. And it's in my head, the words from It Is Well Within My Soul. The third verse says, "My sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought, my sin, not in part, but the whole is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, oh my soul." Those amazing words, song written 100 plus years ago, but the same for each one here. And my prayer, our prayer, those who lead, is that everyone know that. And I would just encourage you, you may, you know, be going to church, you may just be coming for the first time, but it's our desire that you get to know that our sin is taken away through what Jesus has done. So please go and come and talk to Claire or me or one of the other leadership team if you'd like afterwards. We'd love that.